Morning. Welcome to Holy Nativity. For today's worship, you were handed a worship folder that contains a green colored service order card and a sheet that's also green in color with the prayers, the hymns, and the readings for today. That should be all you need to guide you through the service, or you can follow along with the projected information. This Wednesday, May the 4th, Gather and Grow will consist of a potluck dinner with a special showing of the movie War Room. Please bring a dish to share, and a potluck dinner begins at 5:30 p.m. We have a brief worship followed by the viewing of the movie, which begins at 6:30, and that will run till 8:30. Child care is available, and then for the next 5 weeks following the viewing of the movie, Gather and Grow meetings will meet in mixed groups to conduct a war room study. The National Day of Prayer takes place here in the sanctuary on Thursday, and that's May the 5th at 7:30. Please join as we join in with the rest of the nation in this annual event. This year's Cleanup and Beautification Day is Saturday, May the 14th, and that'll be at 9 a.m. Please come out and lend a hand in beautifying the church and the grounds. Dave Boning is the contact for that event. Save these dates. Vacation Bible School this year will take place on August 1 through 5, and the curriculum is Deep Sea Discovery. Join us on Friday evenings for volleyball in the Family Life Center, and that takes place from 7 to 9 p.m. And a reminder that the 5th semi-annual Holy Nativity Golf Tournament takes place at Willow Springs on Friday, May the 20th. The Compassion Child talk that was scheduled for today won't take place today. Kathy is still not feeling well, and we'll have that next week. The hymnals that are being used today are the Lutheran Book of Worship for most of the hymns. This is the thick green book in the pew. And the sermon hymn today comes from Hymns of Faith, which is the thick blue book. Thank you.
We want to thank God for bringing us in worship this morning through the rain. And I will ask you to rise and so that we can see our vision statement together before entering into worship. This statement tells us why we are here, and it tells us what we are here for. We are called by Christ, unified by the Holy Spirit, to grow disciples, to spread the gospel. Let us begin worship.
Thank you.
We continue in worship this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. So as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, because you have promised to give what we ask in the name of your only begotten Son, teach us rightly to pray, and with all your saints to offer you our adoration and praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pass the peace.
The first lesson of the day comes from the 16th chapter of Acts, verses 9 through 15, and can be found on page 1096. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Here ends the reading of our first lesson.
Good morning, everyone. Our second lesson today is going to come from the book of Revelations, beginning at the 21st chapter, 9th verse. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in spirit to a mountain great and high. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And we'll continue our reading in verse 21 through 27. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl, each gate the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. And on no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here ends our second reading. Please rise for our gradual hymn.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the fifth chapter. John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, reads, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?' 'Sir,' the invalid replied, 'I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat, and walk.' At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked." The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. This is the gospel of the Lord. We continue in worship now by confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, from whom all good things come, lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to think those things which are right, and by your goodness, help us to do them. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the sermon hymn. Thank you.
morning. Can I have the kids come up? There's three. Hi, girls. So, hey, I gotta tell you a secret. This was kind of a hard one. Like, kind of really hard. Okay. When you're sick, how do you get better? Taking medicine. Ooh, taking medicine is good. That's pretty good. What if you don't know which medicine to take? Where do you go? Oh, to the doctor. You guys are so smart. What are some things that you cannot do when you're sick? Go to school, that's a big one, because people don't want to get sick and the teachers like to be there. Go to your friend's house, that's a big one. What else? Go outside, yeah, exactly. There's a lot of things that we can't do when we're sick. So, there is this man that Jesus went and talked to at this place that was like a pool. And he was sick for 38 years. Okay, you might not know this, but I'm not even 38 yet. So I'm not even born for how long this guy has been laying on this mat for that long. And the people at the time thought that this pool, if they went into this pool at certain times, that they would be healed. But this man couldn't move. Think about it. Pretend you can't move. But I want you to walk to that door. Can you do it? What do you need? It could be crutches or somebody might need to like pick you up and bring you there, right? Okay. Well, this guy, he didn't have anybody to help him. So when Jesus came up, he said, "Do you want to be healed?" What did he say? What did the guy say? "Do you want to be healed?" Yeah. Of course he wanted to be healed. Who wouldn't want to be healed? Do you like being sick? Yeah, me either. I'm kind of a baby. So Jesus just told him, stand up, take your mat, and walk. And the guy did. But wait. So I'm going to let you in on another little secret that a lot of adults, we forget this part. Jesus told him to take his mat. Does he need that mat anymore? No, because he doesn't need to lay on it anymore, right? But what Jesus is saying is not that that mat is something that was with him before when he was sick. Can you ever take back getting sick? Can we go back in time and say, okay, well, we don't want to be sick this time, so we're just not going to? No, we can't do that. So what Jesus said is he's saying, get up. And you need to go with your mat. Take that with you because it's still a part of you. If you've had a sore throat, you've had a sore throat before. You can't go back and change that. Or maybe you broke a bone. Have you guys broke anything? Yeah, me either. And I've been here for 35 years and I've never broke anything. But my sister, she broke her toe. I know. She's kind of clumsy that way. And she can never go back and unbreak her toe, but it healed, right? And so that is always, during that time, she couldn't do stuff. So when you were sick, you can't do certain things like go out or play with people or go to school and those types of things. And it's okay because we have things that happen to us all the time and we just need to bring it with us because it teaches us what to do. So when you're sick, you might... What can you do to not get sick? What are some things you can do? Wear a jacket outside if it's cold. Should you eat lots of junk food? Probably not. And then, who do we listen to when somebody tells us something that we should do to make sure that we're safe? Your parents. Your parents. And do the doctors tell you how to stay healthy? And you can go there and they're like, oh, you're good, right? So that's what Jesus does for us. He heals people, but also in the Bible, he tells us how to live so we can live with him eternally in life. And so he healed the man physically, but he can heal us all the time spiritually so we can live with him forever. Sound like a good idea? And we need to tell other people about how awesome he is and how he can heal us. Can you pray with me? Okay. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for healing us. Please help us tell others about everything you do for us. In your name, amen.
Yeah, that's okay. We give God the praise this morning because the children's church is growing from 1 to 3. All right. The Lord be with you. Okay, today in our gospel reading, it's the story you just heard, a story that has been taught, sung, and preached about since it was published. A story that has served as an inspiration and brought hope and courage to many. And it is the story of the invalid man who had been sick for 38 years. Before he came in contact with the only man who was able to change his situation, and that man is Jesus Christ. As we zero in on this story this morning, we will see through the eyes of this story a picture of the world in which we live and why every single one of us need to be saved from it. To make it short, why this world need Jesus? As a matter of fact, that is the very reason for which God took a mission trip here to save us from our invalidations. We find this even more evident in our second reading for this morning from Revelation chapter 21, wherein there is the description of a new city that God has or is preparing for us. And in verse 27, we are told that nothing impure will ever enter it. Why is this important that nothing pure will ever enter it? It's because our invalidations are a direct result of the impurity within our present world. And so God is saying nothing impure is going to enter this new world that he is creating for us. So going back to the gospel story this morning, this man had been sick longer than Jesus had been on the earth. He's been sick for 38 years. And as the story is read, every time he made the attempt when the water was stirred to go and jump in, somebody would jump in ahead of him. And that had been going on for a very long time, but he kept at that particular place because he came to realize that if any help whatsoever would come, that help would come from being over there at that pool. So he stayed there. And one day, Jesus came passing by and seeing this man at that place, learning of his situation and knowing of how long he'd been sitting there, he goes to him and asks him this question, do you want to be made well? And this guy gets into this whole dialogue with Jesus about how he's been trying to get in the pool. And every time he makes the attempt, somebody else would jump in front of him, and he had no help at all. And so Jesus tells him, well, then now pick up your mat and walk. And he picks up the mat immediately and instantly was cured or well, and he walked. So from this story and many stories in the Bible where God is seen in human history, We can agree together that the whole mission of God here is to save us from the consequences of sin. And this is why we chose for a theme today, When Sinners Meet the Savior. When sinners meet the Savior. You see, when sinners meet the Savior, their lives are never the same again. From the moment a sinner meets Jesus, new life for him begins, and that sinner is never the same again. So allow me to point out three things about the sinner and the Savior in this story as we see the sinner in his wretched condition this morning. And we're going to be reading through some things in the gospel. The first thing I want us to look at in this man's story is his companions. His companions. Look in verse 3 of the text in John 5. It says, here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind and the lame and the paralyzed. His condition was considered wretched because he was in a situation and an atmosphere where everybody there had some kind of problem. Everybody over there had some kind of problem. In other words, no one was trying to help anyone because everyone had the need for help. So no one in that particular place was able to help anybody because everyone over there had a particular kind of problem and needed some kind of help. Well, looking at this from the world's perspective, all of us here in this world have some form of spiritual paralysis, every single person, and we stand in need of help. We are all in the same place when without God, and we are all invalids when without God. Because every single person that has been born of a woman, the Bible says, was born in sin. We got conceived in sin, and we came into this world. And living in a world like ours, we are sinners that can only be saved by the grace of God. And so when a man is living in this world without God, this man is considered as a spiritual invalid. And so all of us have gone through these kind of circumstances. And when you really come to look at it, this is why we come here. This is the exact reason why we come here. We come here because we recognize this one person and only person who is able to save the world. We come here because we understand that the world that we live in does not have the answer to the predicament that we have as spiritual people who have a spiritual need. So we come to the one and the only one who is able to help us. It's the reason why the scripture reminds us in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the assembling together of one another. We come together because this is the only place where we can come to find rescue, refuge, and strength. So we just look at his companions. Let's look at his personal condition. In verses 5 through 7 of John 5, it reads, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. The first thing about this guy, looking at his personal condition, is he is a disabled man. This means his condition prevented him from living a normal physical life for 38 years. A picture of the sinner who is spiritually disabled is what we see in this context. A person who is spiritually disabled is not able to live the spiritual life that God has given to us. He's lost and he is separated from God. He cannot do the things that one who has been born again is able to do. And as a matter of fact, this is the reason why the man who is still lost, the man who is still living outside, away from God, would look at a Christian and admire his life, but in no way is able to live out that life. And the only way he is able to live out that life is when he meets the man Jesus Christ, who brings into him and inside of him a new life, and he is never the same again. So we look at this man, he is disabled for 38 years. It's a symbol of what it looks like when we are without God. The next thing we look at is this man is a desperate man. He's not only a disabled man, but he is a desperate man. The very fact that this man is at the pool shows his desperation for healing. He is at that pool. All right. Sadly today, there are too few sinners who are desperate about their spiritual conditions. They prioritize other things over their spiritual predicament, and they don't find God. They drive others down the path with them. The path that leads down to depravity is where they're going. And they don't see this need to find the Lord, to find help. And then we see them sometimes drive other people down that path with them. And we see that when parents make that decision to take their children instead of to Sunday school on Sunday morning, but on the field to go and play sports. We see these kind of things happening in our day and age. It is so important, the Bible says, that we find spiritual help. It is important that we do this because, my friends, listen, hell is a real place. It's a place that a lot of folks are going and dying and finding themselves over there because they die without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes to bring life, and not to just bring it, but to bring it more abundantly. More abundantly, and that abundant life is the life that all of us in this room need. It's the reason why we gather here this morning. This man is not just a disabled man. He is not just a desperate man, but he is also a disappointed man. Look in verse 7. He says, every time he is about to get into the water, someone else beats him there and goes away with the healing instead. Capture these two phrases in the text. One, he says, I have no one to help me. The second phrase is, while I am trying. He becomes disappointed because his two sources of hope turned out to be hopeless. And the two sources of hope you see in this text is himself and people. I have no one to help me. Every time I try. So he's disappointed. And my friends, it's a picture of us today. We cannot find help in ourselves. We cannot find help in people. The only person that is able to help us is God. We cannot turn to ourselves for help in the time and age we find ourselves in. And Jesus asks him a simple question. Do you want to get healed or where? And this guy goes into this whole dialogue about himself. He becomes disappointed because his two sources had let him down. And he's explaining how no one would help him into the water. And I, every time I try, it's a picture of us, my friends. We cannot do God without God. We cannot have eternal life without God. We cannot make it into heaven by our own works. We need God. Every hour we need him. And this is why we come to him. We cannot do it on our own. We just look at this man, his companions. We look at his personal condition. Now let's look at his personal savior. In verses 6 through 9. In verse 6 it says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Jesus chooses the sinner. It's the first thing we need to look at here. He chooses the sinner. Verse 3 describes a great number of disabled people. But Jesus coming to this one man. He comes directly to this guy. It shows us how Jesus says in John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me. I have chosen you. And so when he comes into our world, he comes to us particularly one person at a time, one man at a time. And this morning, just as we are sitting in worship, there are people this morning that Jesus has visited, and people who have received eternal life just this very moment as we are sitting in worship. He is visiting one man at a time and bringing these people to eternal life. Every time I look at this text, and every time I look at the fact that all these people were at the pool, and Jesus came to this particular man and saved his life, it makes me to think about myself. I think about myself and my salvation, and I think about how Jesus came to me. You see, folks, I could have been like any person out there today who is lost and do not have eternal life. I could have been like any person out there today who have died without Jesus Christ. I could have been just as lost. But Jesus came and found me, and he brought me to him. He was the one who chose me. I did not choose him. He came to me. And this morning, all of us are sitting in here this morning because Jesus came to us. It is a joy and an honor and a privilege to know that Jesus came to me this morning. And it brings all the joy in the world to know that I have been saved not by my works, not by my effort, not by any other person, but the risen Savior Jesus Christ and the finished work that he did on Calvary's cross has bought my redemption, and I have my salvation in him and in him alone. He came and found me. Give God a hand of praise this morning. Jesus came to you just as he came to me. He asked him that simple question, but the guy goes off talking about all these things. The second thing here is he gave him a simple order. In verse 8, pick up your mat and walk. The word of God meets a man who had been in prison for 38 years. The word of God. Jesus is the living word of God. We have with us this morning the written word of God. And I'm speaking to you under the authority of that written word this morning. The word of God has power to change circumstances, my friends. So no matter how long we've been sitting in sin, no matter how many years we've been up in there, no matter how long we've been clocked up in addictions, no matter how long we've been hanging on to those things, I come to let you know this morning, my friends, that the Word of God has the power to heal. The Word of God has the power to restore. The Word of God has the power to transform. It is the same word he used yesterday when he says, let there be light, and there was light. It is the same word that comes to us this morning. The same word. The Word of God has never changed. It is the same word yesterday, today, and forever. It is the word we live by, my friends, and that word brings life. The word can resurrect, and we see this word is being displayed and used in a circumstance that seems so impossible. For 38 years, we've come across a lot of folks who would tell us, God can do nothing with me. I've been in this circumstance for too long now, and there is no hope. I come to let you know this morning, my friends, that in the beginning when God came and said that he was going to create this world, the world was void and empty and it had no form or shape. But God came and the Bible says he said, let there be, and things came into existence as they were not in the beginning. And now we sit here as a result of that. This morning, as I come to you, my friends, I'm saying to you, no matter what your circumstance is this morning, no matter how long you've been held in bondage by the evil one, you have to understand that God's word has the power and authority to release you from that bondage, and it is the word that I bring to you this morning. Lastly, so he gave him a simple offer, he gave him a simple order. And lastly, he gave him an astonishing outcome. In verse 9, at once, The man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. This man would not have acted in faith without first receiving the word of God. Let's get that straight, because a lot of folks be preaching this word and says that, you know, this man had to act in faith so that God's word would take, you know, residence or take effect in his life. But you cannot act in faith without receiving first the word. Because the scripture lets us know this in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You see, in many churches, folks, they'll call something they call altar call, and the people at the end of the sermon would come up to receive Jesus Christ. What I always say that, you know, before they even made up their minds to leave the pews and walk up to the altar, something had already happened inside of them there at the pew where they sat, all right? And when they stood up to walk to the altar, it is an act of faith that they are just walking up because something had already happened. So you don't come up to receive Jesus. You received him when you were sitting there. And coming up to the altar is only an act of faith because of what had already happened inside of you. And this is exactly what happened with the word of God, my friends. So when Jesus says, take up your mat and walk, instantly this guy was healed and strengthened enough to be able to stand up and pick up his mat and walk. This is the power of the word. It is only God's word that is able to do that. It is exactly the same as Lazarus being in the grave and Jesus shouting out, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't have to have faith to get out of the grave because he was dead. But the word of God brought life into death and resurrected that dead body and brought it to life. It is that word you're receiving this morning, my friends. And the word of God has the power to transform and change every situation. And my prayer for you this morning and for all who are listening to us live stream is that the word of God will affect your life in a positive way this morning and help you understand, just as he did it for this invalid man who was sick for 38 years, he can do it for you. I pray that these words from God encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith, knowing always that God will never bring you this far and leave you. God will never teach you to swim and let you drown. He will never build his home in you and move away, or lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen.